I want to talk to you about an unusual subject tonight, and I'm to exhort just for a few minutes and turn Tony loose, I think, and he's going to preach, amen. I want to exhort tonight about what I know about what he didn't say, amen. And thank God he did say a little, but I want to talk about what he didn't say, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell." I made this statement the other day. I said, I knew a man one time, and he said, "I knew he was out of the body." I said, "Well, that's kind of strange. He didn't know." Amen. Amen. He said, "God knoweth." Not wise to know more than he knows. Amen. "Such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." And I'll not read the other verses because I want to really focus on what he didn't say. Amen. There's not a lot in the Word of God about heaven. It's quite amazing, amen. I was one afternoon, I'd walked up to my wife's grave, and we've got a marble bench there, and I was just talking to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, there's not a lot we know." And I said, "I'd like to just give me one little unction of encouragement today." And the Holy Ghost said, "Paradise." He said, "That's all you need to know. It's paradise. It's paradise." Amen. And Paul said, "I was called up in the third heaven," and he said, "It's paradise, praise God." Though we don't know a lot about some of the things, we know there's worship, we know there's singing, we know there's praying going on in heaven. Amen. I'm not sure all they pray about, but I know they were asking the Lord in Revelation about how long until some of the things would be fulfilled that they knew would happen. Amen. I'm not so sure they're not saying over there, "How long, O Lord, how long before you bring all the rest of them home?" Praise God. He said, "Wait a little while." Amen. "It'll be all right." Praise the Lord. Paul was certainly an unusual character in the Scriptures. He was a man who hated the church, who hated the name of Jesus. He was very notable in his day. He was a Pharisee. He was no doubt very close, if not already, part of the Sanhedrin. He was above his peers. He was above his teachers. When his instructor instructed them not to persecute because if they were of God, they couldn't stop it. If it wasn't of God, it would stop itself. Paul stepped beyond that and said to persecute, and they followed Paul rather than Gamaliel. Paul had authority with the Jews. He had authority with the Romans. He was a man of notoriety no matter where he went. Even when he went to Damascus with warrants, he had authority to bring those back to persecute them who named the name of Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, he got saved. Gloriously saved, praise God, hallelujah. I think everybody's gloriously saved. I just think some people don't gloriously show it, amen. Everybody is saved, gloriously saved, and should gloriously show Christ in their life. But many things we do not know about heaven. Are they playing horseshoes over there? Badminton, volleyball? Boy, some of you look strange, amen. Do they pick their own fruit or is in a basket waiting on them? A lot of things we don't know, amen. But it's a real place. And those who have been there have not been allowed to elaborate a lot on about what's there. Even John in Revelations, there was things he could not say and could not write. Even the prophets at times heard things that they couldn't tell us about. And particularly, Paul says, he was told very specific that there were things that he was not able to record or write down. So I want to tell you some things that I know about what he didn't say. Would that be all right? And then we're going to turn the preacher loose, amen. I know it was enough for Paul to make him want to go back. Amen. He didn't tell us what he saw, amen. He didn't tell us all was there, but it was enough to make him want to go back. And he said, after he saw that, he said, I am betwixt two, amen. He said, having a desire to depart, which is far better, praise God. In other words, what he did see and what he did know was enough for Paul to want to go back, praise God, and depart from this world, amen, hallelujah. I know it was enough for Paul to look forward to the prizes, to the rewards, to the awards, to the crowns, to the things that he looked forward to seeing, amen, and receiving when he got there, praise God. He was the writer of the rewards and the gifts of God and the crowns more than any writer in the New Testament. He even knew that there was crowns laid up for him, amen, waiting for him when he got there. So whatever he saw, whatever he viewed, was enough for him to want to go back, amen. Whatever he saw, whatever he viewed, whatever he knew that he could not reveal was enough, praise God, for him to look forward to the things that was there waiting on him that was on the other shore. And he inspired us and inspired the saints and inspired the church to look forward to those things that they lay up in heaven, amen. Lay up beyond this veil of tears, beyond this life, beyond this all the things that we might have here, amen. I know it was enough for Paul to discipline himself and encourage others to discipline themselves that they might bring glory to God and be used in the Lord's service. He demonstrated as an athlete bringing his body under subjection and exercising and doing what he needed to do to win the prize. And he said, we're all in the race, but one wins the prize. And he said, I bring under my body. He said, I bring it into subjection. He wanted his body to please God so that there would be a time that God could say to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Whatever he saw was enough for him to say, giving to my flesh and yielding to my flesh and giving over to my body, no writer in the New Testament, matter of fact, no writer in the whole Bible addressed the flesh like Paul did. No writer in the Word of God addressed bringing our flesh under control. No writer in the Scriptures addressed dealing with it like Paul did, because Paul had everything in his heart and mind to recognize the reason to discipline our own flesh, amen. I know it was enough. I don't know what he saw. I don't know all he's seen, and I don't know all he experienced, and I don't know all that he knew when he arrived back here, amen. And I have a problem with the people who write these books that want to tell you all about it, amen. But I know it was enough for him to live a separated life all of his days. And he said in the Word of God, he said, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Whatever inspired him enough to say, I want to live clean, I want to live holy, I want to live pure, I want to present my body to him a living sacrifice, I want to be well pleasing to him. Amen. Whatever it was enough for him to say, whether in the body or out of the body, I want to please the Lord. And he said, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. He recognized that you did not have to arrive over there bodily. You could die and go before the rapture. And he left with us the understanding, it is so real that those saints who get there in their spirit and soul, it's so real they can't tell they ain't got a body. Amen. That's pretty good, amen. He said that he was looking forward to the day that the Lord would be pleased with what he had done. He said, therefore we labor that whether present or absent, whether we're here on earth or whether we're standing in his presence, amen, we are approved of him. We have his stamp of you have done right, amen. I've been to a lot of awards banquets in school, having a Christian school in our church, and you have sometimes those little fellows, you know, they're 4 or 5 years old, they're in kindergarten, they're trying to get started, and you've got one that's a little mean, a little tough, and he's, you know, he thinks he's 19, and he's maybe a motorcycle rider, and he's just 4 or 5 years old. And he's told all year long, you know, there's going to be some awards and there's going to be some prizes and there's going to be, I don't care if I get a reward or not, amen. I don't even like being here. But you know, I've noticed them in those award banquets. I mean, little Johnny is sitting down there on the front, you know, and all the others come by and get their award. And little tears comes out of his corner of his eyes. He don't get no award. Paul told us, and he was the only one that told us, there's no other writer in the New Testament that made the judgment seat of Christ as plain as Paul did, and he said there'll be people there that have no reward, saved, yet so as by fire. And he said we are to give him our best gold and silver and precious stones and not wood, hay, and stubble. So one day we'll stand before him, and our works, amen, will not be burned up, and we'll receive a reward, amen. In the 60s, and it rolled over into the 70s, in our movement, in our independent Baptist movement, we heard a lot of preaching. If you wasn't everything and you didn't do everything, you wasn't up to par in everything, then you wasn't saved. And a lot of Christians made a lot of professions of faith, amen. And the whole problem was they need to get right with God and live a life that pleased the Lord and serve God. And they need to be told, you're going to stand before God one day empty-handed, no rewards and no crowns, amen. And the Bible said, ashamed before Him at His appearing, amen. No one dealt with that elaborately as did the Apostle Paul. If you remove 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5 out of the Word of God, you would be extremely limited in your knowledge of the judgment seat of Christ. You'd be extremely limited in your knowledge of rewards. You'd be extremely limited. And by the way, there's no stronger verses on eternal salvation than those that Paul put forth. And he said they will have no rewards for their works, all their works burned up, but yet saved so as by fire. I know it's enough for him to clearly teach those doctrines without any exception, making sure that everyone knew that salvation was by grace through faith and that not of herself. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But yet at the same time, identifying we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. No writer in the New Testament made those statements as bold as he did. Not taken away from the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but it is sure that the Holy Ghost used the very testimony of men and the very lifestyle that they lived to bring forth many doctrines in the Word of God that we have today. I don't know all he saw, He didn't tell us. He said he couldn't tell us. He said he couldn't write it down. But it was enough. Whatever he saw, he wanted to go back. Amen. It was enough, amen, that he struggled between the twixt, having a desire to part. And the only reason that he wasn't just saying, Lord, get me out of here, was he knew it was beneficial to the church that he remained for a period of time to strengthen them in their faith. Amen. It was enough for him to look forward to it. He knew there was things waiting on him there. He had prizes. And he worked and he labored toward the prize. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to say, look, we better clear the slate in all of our foolishness and look forward and quit looking backward, amen, and begin to say, it could be any minute I'll meet the Lord Jesus. I've looked death right in the face more than once. I mean right in the face. I've shook hands with death a few times and thought it was it. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, if you have Jesus in your heart, you can look at death and say, death is not an enemy. Death is a transportation. Death is not an enemy. Death is a door. Death is not an enemy. Death is a destiny. Death is not an enemy. Death is a reward. If you're saved by the grace of God, hallelujah, you're going to step out of this world one day and meet the Lord Jesus, praise God, and thank God for the day. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it was enough for him to be able to keep his eyes on eternity rather than all the earthly aspirations that he had had at one time. I'm bothered by people who go back to those old aspirations and desires. Amen. Paul said it was all a dunghill to me. He said to have Christ. He said to have Jesus, amen. He said, all that I had, all he gave his pedigree in the Hebrew and all that he could have been and all that he could have. He said I counted all but loss. He didn't count it loss. He counted all but loss. He said there was no loss. It was a dunghill. It was a manure pile. He said, I counted all but loss. No loss to me, amen. It was gain to have Christ. Some people say he was talking about his loss. He had no losses. He only had gains. You don't lose nothing when somebody shovels a manure pile out of your life. And Paul said everything here compared to what's there is just a manure pile, amen. It's a dunghill, amen. If it wasn't for that door opening up, I'd preach a little while. Amen. I know it was enough for him to never stop endeavoring to reach others. He wanted others to go so badly, he could wish himself a curse from Christ that he might win his brethren, amen. The Jew that had turned their back on God, he had such a burden for the unsaved, he went untiringly, he went unceasingly reaching out to the lost. What an example. What an example. Well, today we have parents that can't even pray for their children. God help us, amen. I'm talking about what he saw and what he experienced and what he knew was so far above this world and was so far beyond this life and was so far outstretched of everything one could have. If a man could gain the world, Jesus teaches us, and have it all, what would he give in exchange for his soul? You know, I have a problem with a person selling me a pair of shoes and they don't wear that kind. Amen. Have a little bit of a problem with a bald-headed man selling me hair grower too. Amen. But Paul knew what he had. He said, I know whom I have believed. Glory to God. He wasn't talking about a religion. He's talking about a person. His salvation was in a person, not in a place. His salvation was in a person. It was not in people. It was in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, I know whom I have believed. And he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I don't know what he saw. I don't know. I'm preaching what I know about what he didn't say. Amen. I know it was enough for him to be able to say, I'm ready to be offered. Turn to 2 Timothy. I'll read these verses and I'll slip out of the way. 'No one inspired the saints of God like the Apostle Paul.' Chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy, I didn't tell you where to go to. Whatever it was, we glean from these who God has placed in the book and gave us testimony. We glean from their testimony. One day, we're going to have to lay, if the Lord doesn't come soon, and there's going to be many of us going to lay on our deathbed, amen. I've been in that place. Thinking I was going to die. And when you're bleeding and blood all over the place and you think you're bleeding to death, I said, Lord, there's nobody to help me. There's nobody here. I can't drag my body. I tried to drag myself with my hand. Couldn't move my legs. Blood poured out of me. I knew enough by being in first aid every year in the mines and all that. I said, well, I'm going to die here in about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I said, I tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to worship you and praise you till the last breath goes out of my body. And I began to worship and praise and magnify his name. I got so excited about seeing him. I said, Lord, it's getting close. I'm going to see you in just a little bit. Hallelujah. For the sake of God, death is just a doorway. We come down here last year for the November meeting. I'd been to two meetings and Kathy couldn't go. She was too sick. She said, I just can't go. This meeting was coming up. She said, I'm going to that meeting. She said, it'll be the last meeting I believe I'll probably ever get to go to. She said, I'm going to that meeting. She never complained. But we talked about heaven. We talked about, and I'd say, oh, you're going to outlive me. You know how you talk and how you converse going down the highway. She said, honey, it's not going to be much longer. I said, no. Little did I know that the same month that we had that meeting here, she went to be with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you got something far better. Far better. The world ought to see us excited about going to heaven. I tell you what, a lot of sinners ain't getting saved. They ain't seeing no saved people excited about leaving either. Most saved people are more excited about being here than they are being in heaven. Paul says this, for I am now ready to be offered. He's laid in prison those several years. Questions about the exact timing of that. His departure from Jerusalem, kept in jail, moved on to Rome. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I don't know if they'd brought down the edict and said, here it is, your execution day is this, or the Holy Ghost told him his execution day was that. He said, I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. He set an example for me and you. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to fight a good fight, Brother Raines. I want to go on for Jesus. I want to finish my course. I want to keep the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, unto all them also that love his appearing. I don't know all he saw, but what he saw was enough. Have you heard enough that'll make your life in the direction that Paul's life went? If not, I say to you, you need to get a bigger vision.